Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Show. I'm your host, Pop Art Painter Jamie Rock. And this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Taking a little bit of a break from painting this evening. I've got a fantastic guest tonight on the show. Filmmaker, director, writer, actor, film guy extraordinaire, Mr. Keith Sutliff. Keith, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, thanks for being on the show. Man, when I first saw your... I know you actually own a production company too, KS Pictures.
Right.
When I first saw the trailer for the Mason Brothers, I geeked out, man. This looks like a heck of a movie. Heck of a movie.
Thanks, man.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, it's filmed with Super 8 and it's about zombie. No, I'm kidding. None of that. Not that there's anything wrong with any of that. This is cool stuff. Tell us a little bit, before we get into the film, I want to get a little bit of background on you. I'm a recent Floridian, moved here a couple years ago, but you're from Florida, right?
I am, from Tampa, Florida. I've been out for almost 5 years now.
Nice. I love that area over there. I'm on the opposite side. I'm over in a little town called Deerfield Beach, just south of Boca, up from Fort Lauderdale.
It's
beautiful. It's starting to get hot, you know. Oh, you know how it is down here, you know. Season ends. And
it's too humid,
starts
man.
Going.
I can't stand it down. It's too humid and hot.
It gets crazy. Well, you know, the thing is, I grew up north, so, you know, in the winter, you're not out much because it's too cold. It's just the opposite down here, you know, but when we bought this house, it didn't have central air, and I'm like, the first thing we got to get, baby, I know what's coming.
Yeah.
Crazy. So you headed out to, you did college in Central Florida, in Orlando, right? Got your degree in criminal justice. That's pretty cool.
Yes, sir. Yep.
So was like the criminal justice, like you said, okay, I want to do films, but I need something just in case to fall back on, or how did that come about, the film and criminal justice? How did that work?
Well, I always wanted to get into film. I was actually thinking about majoring in film, but I ended up not. I ended up getting a criminal justice degree, and I ended up coming out here. I wanted to get into like stunt acting and stuff like that. I ended up getting some acting roles, and then I've always wanted to, since I was a kid, get into filmmaking or getting into film in some capacity, either directing, you know, being on set, doing something. I just didn't know what, and I it wasn't until I really came out here until I took I went to a film school like maybe, let's see. 2014. So I've been out here for like 2.5 years or something like that, or around there, a little over that, or a little less than that maybe. And I went to a film school in East LA, and I went there for 2 semesters. And they teach all the different basic roles of the set and stuff. You know, grip, gaffing, AD work. You know, directing, all that stuff. And I started making short films. I used like DSLR cameras and stuff. We were making shorts, and I continued to make short films. And I opened my company, and I made this feature, and I just kind of snowballed from there.
A feature is no small feat. It's a feature, you know. I mean, that's big. I can't even imagine. Now, did you for the Mason Brothers? Is this your first feature that you did, the Mason Brothers?
Yep, my first one. You know, I wrote, directed, produced, was in it, starred in, all that stuff. So.
Well, that's interesting too, because I was seeing that on the Internet Movie Database page about it, and you started in this as well, besides wearing all these other incredibly important hats. Was that difficult to direct and also star at the same time?
Yeah, it was real difficult.
Like out of the gate?
It's, Yeah, you know, here's the thing. Here, like, from all my shorts from day one, when I started making all my shorts, I direct and write and produce all my own shorts, and I was, you know, I always play a significant role in the film, some strong supporting our lead, and I thought it was like a trademark of mine to be in the film as well, so I wanted to do the same for the future, and I play one of the four leads in the movie, so yeah, it's like a trademark of mine, like some directors do. They put themselves in their own movies, and it's something I like to do. And also, it saves money because, you know, I don't have massive budgets for studios. Yeah, it saves money, and it saves, you know, I don't have to hire an actor. I know the vision I want for the character. So it's kind of, yeah, it's a win-win, but it is. It's a ton of work, man. I'm just getting over, like, the hump of this whole film, and it's been very, very long, exhausting and a half, and it's great. But it's, yeah, it was, I knew it was a lot of work, but, you know, it was a ton of work, but it was worth it. And it was good, man. Yeah.
This is what you do. This is what you do. And from the trailer, now I haven't seen the film yet, but I've seen the trailer and I'm just blown away. Blown away. Just the production values on the trailer, man. This isn't, you know, I don't know. Maybe I don't think you shot this with your iPhone. I'm saying, you know, I mean, these are big scenes and shots. And, You know, this is the real deal, folks.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
So
nice. Now, did you have this idea for this film for a while, or did it kind of come to you, or I'm just curious how it came from, like, fruition in your mind to, like, I'll be all Hollywood now, in the can, so to speak, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question, man. Like a lot of filmmakers, I mean, I'm a cinephile. I watch tons of movies, or I used to. I used to until I started this movie, and I lost all my time because I was dedicated for this. But no, a little bit of both. You know, I've always all my films I write are all the crime thriller genre. I mean, all the script writer of that same genre. So, you know, I write all the same types of similar types of that same genre of scripts and a little bit of action to it as well. But yeah, you know, I think as far as it came to me, it wasn't like a film was in my head for, or a script was in my head for multiple years. It wasn't in my head for multiple years. However, I've always, since I started making films a few years back, and just once I started getting into films, like when I came out to L.A., it was 30 Stonework, I've always wanted to be in and do like a heist movie. Either I was in one like a few years back as like a small supporting bank robber role, but I've always wanted to be involved in, like, either make a heist movie or be a strong significant part in directing or doing something in it. And you know, I've always loved Heat, Point Break, all those big movies. I always want to do a movie like that or something, so that's always in the back of my head from the beginning. However, the script in general has not, like, the storyline has not, I came out with it maybe, you know, months before I started writing it, kind of with the idea, and then I just started writing it, made it 4 weeks, wrote it 4 weeks, and then we shot it 7 months later and just went from there. So
that's awesome. Well, I think the crime thing, you know, I think it might be popular. I don't know. Every time I turn on my television, there's a Law and Order episode on, you know, every channel or some kind of crime show. I'm with you, Keith. I like those kinds of movies as well. I don't know. You know, I grew up in Detroit and I knew a lot of people that did bad things. You know what I mean? And I think the people in the movies I see are maybe a little more, together than the people I knew, you know. So it's a nice change.
Yeah,
all the cats I grew up with, you kind of knew where they were going to wind up. You know, in the movie, they might get away. Yeah. They might make it to Mexico. You never know.
It's so funny, man, because when you see, like, you know, like, I, you know, when you see criminals in real life versus Hollywood, they're different. It's so different. Like, you know, you have the Hollywood, you know, like the Hollywood movies. It's
right.
So, like, believe, you know, it's like, you know, Point Break, Heat, you know, but it's cool. Everyone likes that stuff. I love those films. I, you know, I want to make one, so I made one.
I do too. Now, let me ask you, do you have like real life brothers? I mean, because there's a pretty cool, like, you kind of captured that real well. You know, it seems from the trailer and whatnot, that brother relationship. Do you have that going in? Or do you just new people?
What do you mean with the actors or in real life? Mm-hmm. My real siblings or
I'm
ones?
Seeing if you had real siblings that you drew upon when you wrote the movie.
Oh, you know, that's a good question, because I have a brother, one brother, Eric. and he lives in Fort Lauderdale, Eric Sutliff, and we've always been close. He's my brother, obviously, but you know, he doesn't close to other things
this,
like.
Would you trust him to park the van on the southeast side of the building?
Absolutely.
Yeah. See, there you go. There you go.
It's interesting you brought that up because, you know, I had to one of the main, because it's this story, you know, there's three brothers and there's a fourth guy that working with Gage who's like newer to like their clan, their organized group, and their group of organized criminals that rob banks for a living. And this guy Gage is a newer guy to the clan, to the group, and he's only there for about a year, but they trust him as a brother because they have to, you know, cause the type of work they do. So this Gage character, the guy I actually ended up casting for it, he's been a long time middle school friend of mine, Matt Webb, and a great actor, really good talent. He
nice.
He came into the role, and I've known him since middle school, so I kind of had, I'm really good friends with him to this day, and we have a close relationship, his friendship, so it was good he came into that role, so I was able to, you know, we're good friends, so it kind of felt like that, you know, coming into it with him at least.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
You're a business owner.
Check.
You have business owner's insurance.
Check.
And 10 years ago, that went about enough. Today, small businesses are being targeted and taken down by hackers. Medical offices, consultants, CPAs, any business that's built success has everything to lose. You probably have cybersecurity installed on your computer.
Check.
But you probably don't have cyber insurance, coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Cyber Policy covers that gap. CyberPolicy.com shops the leading cyber insurers to find you the right policy at the right price to avoid a catastrophe. Coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Get a custom quote today in just 4 minutes. And for a limited time, use the promo code BLOGTALK to get Norton's small business protection for up to 5 devices free when you sign up for cyber insurance. Plan, prevent, insure. Visit cyberpolicy.com. That's cyberpolicy.com.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store. It's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers Shrine clothing and Alchemy Gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with her rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierux.us.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com. to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Now let me ask you this, did you crowdfund this? I mean, you know, you're saying, okay, I'm going to make a feature film. That can't be cheap, you know. I mean, that cannot be cheap. That's going to cost some bucks. Was that hard to get the money together to do the feature?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's you know, I funded it with myself and an investor. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's how.
Well, then
know,
the pressure's on even more.
Yeah, you put some money in an investor, so it's like, you know, there, you know, no film is, you know, to make a film properly, not like to make it worth your while, because like you're gonna spend a year and a half to 2 years or even more on a feature film. That they're so time consuming,
right,
man. It's like having a kid, or it's like having a permanent wife or girlfriend or something. It's ridiculous, but like you gotta love it. It's obviously why it's why you do it. But anyways, you know, to do it right, you can't. There's some things you can't cheap. That you can't skim by on a feature, especially that sound, you know, picture quality, stuff you shouldn't. And I wouldn't recommend it.
Right.
The time, man, you're making this thing. So you have to spend, in my opinion, you do have to spend not a certain amount of money, but you know, you do have to throw over some bucks for those things like the sound, you know, some of the things I mentioned, the picture, you know, a good DP, stuff like that. So, and that's some of that stuff can cost a little money. It's, you know, it's post sound production stuff, you know, music. So, yeah, that's I don't know what point was I'm losing my thought. You can't.
Well,
you
no,
can
but I mean, it is
make a film for cheap. Was that?
Yeah, I was gonna say, and it shows in the trailer, all of that. You know, I mean, that's the first thing. I'm not in the film business. I'm a painter, but I'm a movie nut, and not in. I don't know the mechanics of making movies, but man, I love movies. I just do. I'm putting an outdoor theater in my yard. You know, I mean, I'm into movies.
Nice.
So I watch the trailer for the Mason Brothers, and I'm blown. I'm like, man, this is, look at the production value of this. Gosh, this is awesome. You know,
thanks, man.
I mean, as an audience member, I'm just impressed by that. You know, and it may be some, you know, shiny stuff that's waving or whatever, but I don't know. You know what I mean? It impressed me, and it makes me, those things makes me want to. It draws me in. I want to see the rest. I'm like, I got to see the story on this, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's cool.
Great,
it's definitely worth doing, you know? Definitely worth doing,
yeah,
at least for me.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you saying?
Oh, I was going to, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's like with anything, you know, anything. I've known a lot of creative people in my life, and they all say the same thing, you know? You have to love what you're doing. Even when you hate it, you know, even when you get up in the morning and go, oh man, but I still love it. I got to do it.
No, it's true. I learned making a film in this whole year and a half, it's a love hate relationship. And it's like, there's so much admin. The thing what people don't realize coming into making a feature, I didn't realize as much as how much admin work is in my first feature. I made shorts in the past, but like all the admin work goes into, because, you know, if it's an independent film, you know, the more people that do it properly, yeah, you should hire, like, I have my team, small team of guys, but it's like, you know, to do it properly, you're going to have, you know, all these different departments and wardrobe, all these different people you have to hire for pre-production stuff, but, like, that's going to cost a ton of money. So, like, if you don't have the budget for it, then you're going to end up doing a lot of stuff, or with the one or two other people you have on board your team, or just you by yourself with some, a lot of stuff. So I was, like, nosy. I was like, damn, man, like, even in post-production stuff, I was supervising all that. It's, you're doing a lot of this stuff yourself, like, lining up theaters, movies, like everything. So it's just so much work, and it's constantly, you're constantly answering emails, phone calls, you're constantly on the man every single day. So it's like, that's how it works, you know, unless you have a huge team.
I hear you. And then when you get investors involved, you know, they're calling, hey, when's the, you know, when are we getting return, you know, all that. I've done a couple projects, not a film, but I've used investors on a couple business projects, and I know how that goes. But, you know,
they want to know when the money coming in, when the credit.
Oh yeah. It's part of it. So Keith, we were talking a little bit about your storytelling in this is not the typical point A to B to C to D. You went kind of a nonlinear route on some of this. Tell us a bit about that. I find that fascinating.
I mean, all my scripts are right. Every script I've written, every feature script I've written, they're all nonlinear. And even the short films, they're all nonlinear, non-chronological. That's my style of writing that I enjoy the most. I find it most fascinating. Love it. The reason why is, you know, you can take a movie or a story which maybe just kind of mundane and not no action in it, nothing much going on. But if you write it a certain way and you can cut up the timeline and chop up the series of events, it makes it for a lot more interesting movie, and even a better movie. So it can take a mundane movie and make it a whole lot better. That's why I like doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's my style. So Christopher Nolan writes like that for, you know, Memento, Inception, Quentin Tarantino is a huge guy in that, like that. Reservoir Dogs, you know, Hateful Eight, Pulp Fiction. So it's a style. I mean, other directors and writers have done it. I do all my films like that in my scripts. So that's what I did for the Mason Brothers. You know, imagine a storyline and chopping up the series of events, coming back in the timeline. That's what I did. And I, you know, a lot of people, I would never put myself in this category, but a lot of people have compared it to Reservoir Dogs, and I keep mentioning Reservoir Dogs, It's a heist movie, and it is nonlinear, kind of like that. But and that wasn't my intention. I would never put myself in his category. He's Quentin Tarantino is a mastermind filmmaker, writer, director, and one of the best of our era. So I would never put myself in that category. But you know, people do like Reservoir Dogs and that type of movie and that type of storytelling and that type of heist movie. I think they would like the Mason Brothers because my film, there are some, you know, there are some similarities. When you watch it, the heist actually isn't shown at all. Like Reservoir Dogs, they do show a little bit of the heist, paint with the suit out and stuff, but like I don't show the heist at all. That's not a spoiler because it's already talked about it. But anyways, cut back and forth in the timeline around that. So a lot of it's about the aftermath of the heist and you know what happened before the heist and the death of their of one of their brothers and how they seek revenge on him and trying to find out who set him up at this bank. These other group of criminals and who the mastermind was behind telling this other group of criminals about these brothers being at the bank at the same time they were because they found out, you know, they're going to be at this exact same date and time. They hit every bank in 30 minutes. It has to be a setup. That's what they know. So it's our revenge, and, you know, it's, yeah, there are some similarities with that. So if people do like Reservoir Dogs, I think they would like this. There are some similarities like that. So, yeah, just checking out.
Absolutely, absolutely. A Thinking Man heist movie. I like it. I like those the best. Good stuff. So now this isn't out yet, right? You haven't premiered this. This is going to be coming out here soon, or what's the going to film festivals, or what's the story?
It's I premiered it. I actually premiered it on April 11th last month at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood, Los Angeles, Hollywood Boulevard.
Really?
Yep.
There. Wow. That's big time, man. There had to be a moment that evening when this thing's premiering at the Egyptian, you're going, you know, holy shit, this is like big time, you know? I would have been freaking out.
I made a big speech in front of a couple hundred people, and it was a big deal for me and for people on the film, so yeah, I made a speech, and there's a lot of people there, man, people in the industry, and it was a big day, red carpet, a whole nine yards, press, media, you know, certain celebrities and people in the industry. That launched the theatrical release, that was the premiere, and it launched the theatrical release, which went from April 14th to May 7th in L.A., and just ended. So
nice. Now, is it going to be go on video on demand now, or what's the next step?
Yeah, I have a distributor for all the aftermarkets. It was taken on the different film markets and stuff, and they're going to be shopping around to foreign buyers and then to TV place, you know, for TV sales and VOD.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's next. In the next few months, it should hopefully be coming out on VOD for people and hopefully DVD down the line as well.
So, nice. Well, folks, we have we have links up to the Mason Brothers Facebook page, the Keith's Internet Movie Database page. I suggest you like the Facebook page because then you can find out when it's going to when you can watch this. And then everybody's got an HDMI cable, man. Hook that laptop to your TV, the bigger the better, and watch this. You know, that's cool. very cool. Well, this is cool, man. I mean, you had the premiere, the red carpet, all that. That's exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. Oh, man. Now, Keith, I know you just wrapped up a year and a half of your life with this.
Oh,
I got to ask.
Yeah.
Are you ready to dive back in the pool, or are you taking a little break, or what do you think?
I'm taking a little break, man. It's getting classic. I've been so wrapped up in it. You know, take away from some of my social life and stuff, so I'm on family and stuff like that. So, yeah, so I'm taking a little break. I'm focusing now. I'm focusing on a little bit more. I've had like one or two acting roles since then. One in a bigger budget movie in LA, pretty big budget movie, and I'm focusing on
Very
just getting
cool.
some acting.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well, just because, you know, here's the thing. Like, when you show up, I have so much a different perspective now when I come to a set, especially if it's just, like, acting or something else, because, like, when you go there, you actually have a very, as an actor, so you have a very small responsibility to show up knowing you're lining that for it's very easy, man.
Right.
So it's like, when you go there, it's very fun because you go there, you just know your lines or whatever your, if you're a PA or whatever your job is, you don't have a huge responsibility. You're not a producer or the director or something like managing a whole set or like production coordinator. So, you know, when you're doing all those jobs like producing and stuff, it's, you're managing so many people and emails and all this stuff going on. So it kind of like, it's not as maybe as enjoyable, but like you still love it, but it's a different type of enjoyment. So like when you're just showing up on set for that small thing, it's different. It's fun being, it's really fun being on a set, and it's like, okay, this is cool. So yeah, my point is, yeah, I'm trying to just get on sets now, just small acting roles and stuff, just to, you know, refresh my head and just kind of take a break, you know.
That's true. Well, and you gotta have a social life too, because when you start going to all these red carpets and stuff, it's always nice to, you know, bring a girl with you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you gotta have time to meet one, you know.
Yeah. Dude. Right.
You're living the life.
Yeah.
Kind of different than Tampa, eh? Kind of different than Tampa.
Tampa's boring, man.
Premier and moving to the Egyptian.
Yeah.
Check you out.
Yeah,
that is cool, man. That is cool.
That is huge, man.
That's pretty exciting. That is pretty exciting. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait to this, you know, I'm going to be following right along. And when it's on VOD and whatnot, I'm definitely going to be watching it and checking that out here. And, well, you know, any of the locals that are listening, come by my place. You might be able to. No, I'm kidding. I don't.
No.
Maybe. Maybe I might have a Mason Brothers party. You never know. That might happen.
Good.
It looks like
good,
a good movie. It looks like a really good movie.
That's cool.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Record better audio anywhere with Motive digital microphones from Shure. Easy-to-use options like the MV88 plug directly into your phone or computer and include a free app. Create studio-quality sound for podcasts, music, and videos. Visit Shure.com to learn more.
I figured out who the neighbor around the corner is.
Oh, yeah?
I like him a lot.
Ooh.
He lets me talk as much as I want, is very simple, and has great plans.
Okay, I have to meet him.
Sure. Say hi. This is Metro PCS.
Metro PCS is in your neighborhood. Come say hi and get unlimited data, talk, and text for only $30, period. All on the fast nationwide 4G LTE T-Mobile network. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. 1 gigabyte of high-speed data included. See store for details, terms, and conditions, and data management info.
Hey, everybody. Pop artist Jamie Rocks here. Hey, at the end of last year, some people, we've got quite a few inquiries where people wanted paintings, but, you know, the economy's getting better, but it's still kind of rough for a lot of people, and they just can't afford my normal larger painting. You know, they love my work, but they just can't afford the big ones. So what we did on that is I've been picking different themes and painting smaller ones, 16 by 20 canvas, perfect size canvas for an apartment or a room. It's not overwhelming. It's not a big, huge thing you'd see in a gallery or in a big millionaire's house. But it's good. And what they are, we've been selling those on eBay. So if you go to the website, www.jamierocks.us, you'll see the eBay auctions there. I try to have 4 or 5 per week up at all times. And, you know, we don't have any control over what those sell for. So you might get a good deal. But definitely worth checking out if you're on a budget, and, you know, I hope one of my original paintings will be hanging in your home soon. Thank you for your interest, and on back to the show now.
Oh, awesome. Nice. There you go.
Yeah.
I like my life. So that's cool. So you're working on, you got some stuff going, and, but you know what'll happen. You know what'll happen, Keith. You're either going to get an idea, or somebody's going to throw you a script or something, and you know that itch is going to be there again. You know.
Yeah. I hope.
Sorry, but it's just how that goes. You know.
Yeah.
That's awesome,
man. That's the goal. I have a couple
of
scripts I've written, a couple of feature length scripts I have written in the past. I have two what I wrote like a little over a year ago, and then I have one, I just finished one. That I'll probably, if I get the funding, it's lower budget. I'll probably shoot that one next. I mean, it's higher budget than the Mason Brothers, but it's still like a lower budget movie that I can get done in condensed locations and stuff. It's called The Refuge. I'll do that one next, possibly. It's another crime thriller movie. Group of, you know, criminals all conjoining into one area trying to achieve this one goal. And anyways, I'll either that one, I still have to revise and do some things on it, but if not that one, I have another one called West 32nd Street I wrote about over a year ago. And that's a little higher budget. If I can get that one made, I would. So, yeah, who knows? Like, I would like to do one of those films next if I can, you know, as far as a director and producing. So.
I hear you. Well, that's cool, man. Well, I know a lot of cats, you know, listen to the show that are maybe not at the level you're at now, but they're trying to get there. They're starting out and everything. And I guess I just got to, you know, look to you for inspiration. Just keep your nose to the grindstone and make it happen. You know, I mean, you certainly did. And that's impressive. Very inspiring. Very inspiring.
Thanks, man. Means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Heart and soul. And
Cool. Well, again, folks, like I said, we have links on our show page and on my website and whatnot. But I would definitely keep abreast of Keith Sutliff and KS Pictures, LLC, and all of that. And the Mason Brothers, that's the movie to watch there. Good stuff. So, Keith, I was just, you know, we were talking a little bit off the air there about your, the sound quality and production value of this movie. It's amazing.
Right.
How did that come about?
You know, it's I think I have to thank my team. I have, you know, one of the most talented, if not the most talented people in Hollywood working with me. Hats off to my music composer and post production sound engineer Federico Bayona. He did all the post sound and sound design, scored the whole music soundtrack for the movie, and he's one of the best in the business, if not the best. He's in the business for over 20 years, worked on thousands of TV shows in Italy and everywhere. He's great, man, and he did a phenomenal job. So he helped out, and my sound mixer on set and Boom Op, he did a great job. He's been in the business for years. So him, and then my cinematographer, director of photography, Earl Weber, is phenomenal. He's won he's part of a Oscar-winning film from 2010 called Music by Prudence. It was a short film, won an Academy Award 2010. The cinematographer for that. This guy's work is really good. You got to check it out. So I had him on board. He was my DP. So I had all these talented people in it. That's helped make a great product, man. So really, making it into a collaboration. And of course, the actors were great. So all that stuff combined makes a good team. And that's hopefully, you know, what people see as the product, that it's a good, you know, quality product. They watch it.
Oh, that's awesome. Surround yourself with good people, folks. Surround yourself with good people that know what they're doing, you know.
Right.
You get good results. That's awesome. Oh, very cool. Any other shout-outs before we close things down here tonight?
It's friends and family and stuff, people supporting us on the film.
Nice.
You know, Matt Webb's also, he helped out with a lot of behind the scenes production stuff, and he's a good friend of mine, like I said earlier, so he helped out a lot. And David Trevino, one of my producing partners, so all these people, you know, and they're all great. So the actors, everyone. So
that's cool. You know, it's always, you know, I found that you can be the biggest quarterback, you know, the world's ever seen, and you can make the touchdown all the time, but it sure is a lot easier when you got people blocking people for you. when there's people on the field with you.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, Keith, you know, I know you're busy, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the show and talk about the movie and this and that. And, you know, man, very, very cool. You inspire me. I'm telling you, there's many days that I wake up and I'm going, I don't want to do it today. And now I'm going to be going, well, Keith could get up and do it, so get moving, buddy. Get moving.
I appreciate it, man.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
That's awesome. Absolutely. And, you know, let's stay right in touch. When you got something, you know, that you're needing the word out and whatnot, let me know. And we'll definitely, I'll do what I can to help get it out. Good stuff. Keep doing what you're doing, Keith.
Yeah.
You're really good at it. You know?
Thanks, buddy.
That's
thanks,
cool.
Man. I mean,
that is
no
cool.
Problem. Thank you.
Well, folks, that's going to, we're going to wrap it up for tonight. But this show will be converted to a podcast, and it'll be put out on all the various social media platforms, and including up on iTunes for free, so on their podcast page. So if you're listening to the show in the future, hello from the past, do me a quick favor, though, hit that ratings and review. That moves us up to the top of the page, and my advertisers just go ape for that. They love it. They love it, and it makes my life a lot easier. And we get to keep the lights on around here. So, it, you know, it really works out for everybody. Cool. We will be back. What is today? Today's Monday. I won't be back tomorrow. I've got to be down in Miami for I got to see a man about a horse tomorrow. But we will be back Wednesday night. And, yeah, I got to head down for some work. You know what I mean? I like where I live, Keith, because I'm far enough away I can go, but I'm close. You know what I mean? I'm close enough if I have to. Good stuff. Well, we will see you all soon. Are you right there in the thick of it there in LA there?
Yeah.
I mean, don't say on the air where you're at because there's crazy people. But yeah, Koreatown.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, Koreatown.
There
right,
you go. Nice. That's a nice area. It's always a lot of fun.
It is.
I used to live out in California. Oh, very, very cool.
Yeah.
I miss it sometimes. I miss it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll be back Wednesday, folks. So we will see you then. Have a good night, everybody.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.